Now, the upsurge in demand on the National Ambulance Service is pushing many of its paramedics to breaking point. So says SIPTU, and their sectoral organiser, Ted Kenny, is with us on the line. Ted, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry.
Ted, what's happening in the ambulance service?
Well, what's happening in the ambulance service at the moment has been, over the Christmas period, has been an upsurge in the amount of calls and the amount of people who are ringing the control centre, seeking an ambulance to get access to A&E. Difficulties that is imposing is that ambulances are presenting themselves in A&E and waiting 3, 4, 5 hours to hand over patients, which is causing a backlog in and calls, urgent calls in the community that are not being answered in appropriate time.
And what's the staffing like, and what's the situation with regards to how many hours that people are working at the moment? Is that contributing to concerns about burnout here?
Oh, it is, of course. I mean, paramedics operate 12-hour shifts. They are working shift patterns being increased where they're doing 17, 18-hour shifts. And then because of the upsurge, they're asked to try and make themselves available on their days off, albeit they get overtime. But the fact of the matter is they're not presenting themselves at the moment for overtime because of the length of time they're actually physically working when they're on duty.
And that's a huge part of the problem. Are we still running into this problem, and it's not just here, I know in other countries as well, of ambulances being constantly out and then having to wait for hours at the doors of accident emergency to discharge patients because there's no room inside in the ED?
That's it, and that's a problem. I mean, it's twofold. You see, there's a number of factors. I mean, have said they've asked members of the public that only to attend A&E in extreme emergencies, and to only call an ambulance in extreme emergencies as well. Now, albeit, I mean, the public have to decide that themselves.
How do you define an emergency, I suppose?
How do you define an emergency is the issue. Now, there is an initiative being rolled out with the National Ambulance Service. It actually started in UHL this morning, whereby they have community paramedics who are actually going out to houses and trying to treat people in their houses so that it won't necessitate them to attend the A&E. And that has been fairly successful in Kerry in the last number of months. So we welcome those initiatives and the rollout of those initiatives going forward.
Can I ask you, Ted, look, the instance here, each individual case is unique. We had a comment in Trustworthy Radio, a comment last week about a man whose mother is in her 80s, has dementia. She was brought to UHK in an ambulance as she had a severe respiratory condition, needed treatment. The ambulance crew had to wait 9 hours with her, and that was because there was no staff available to admit her because they were so under pressure. Is that kind of happening regularly, those sort of incidents?
Those incidents would be happening 9 hours.
Sorry,
that I'm aware
Ted,
of.
Ted, we're actually, you broke up. Just could you give me the answer to that question again in terms of those incidents? We just lost you for a second there.
Yeah, those incidents that do arise. Now, the 9 hour person that was waiting 9 hours, that seems a very, very excessive. I wasn't aware that an ambulance crew were waiting 9 hours to hand over a patient, but they're definitely waiting between 4 and 5 hours to hand over patients, and that's no fault of the staff in A&E or any other healthcare professionals within the system. That's mainly got to do with the overcrowding situation that's going on in hospitals across the country and A&E units at present.
Yeah. And look, what is the answer here, Ted? Is it a question of, I suppose, have we failed to prepare for the increase in the numbers of people in our population, the increase of older people in our population, the length of time people are living now, healthier, but also requiring perhaps maybe more hospital treatment in their later years? Is it all contributing to it? What's the solution to it?
Well, I suppose, I mean, there's no easy fix to this, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it would seem that the health services has been underfunded, right? And there is a shortage of hospital beds. When you listen to various commentaries over the last number of weeks, they're saying there should be at least an extra 5,000 beds provided in the acute services in this country. We are seeking in the National Ambulance Service, and there has been an independent report done and a capacity review done, that the National Ambulance Service has to double its workforce within the next 2 to 3 years. So at the moment,
has to double the workforce to meet demand in the next couple of years?
Correct. That is correct. That is correct. And at the moment, they have 2,500 employees in the National Ambulance Service, and they have to grow that to 5. And there are going to be challenges in that. And we have at the moment, there was an independent review started in 2018 called The Roles and the Responsibilities, and that looked at the education, the qualifications that the paramedics now have to have. And as they come out of the UCC now, they're actually on level 8, a diploma, sorry, a degree.
A degree, level. Yes.
And we want that recognised. We want the staffing and our qualifications recognised as other healthcare professionals in the system. And that report has been sitting in the department for the last 12 months, since December 2021. And it hasn't been. So we're calling on the Minister, we're calling on the Department of Health to implement that with immediate effect.
Okay. Speaking of the Minister, Ted, he told the HSC to revisit its winter plans and detail the gaps in areas, including staffing levels. He said this to the HSC in the summer and raised concerns about overcrowding. That was from yesterday's Business Post reporting on this. Is it too easy to blame the government? Do the HSC management need to be called to account as well?
I would imagine it's a mixture of both, to be quite honest. I mean, it's very easy for the minister to come out and say, look, that he looked for a review and all that. But at the end of the day, in order to increase staffing or increase any resource within the health services, funding has to be made available. And I don't see the government making that funding available. And if you even look in the last number of days, where the tax intake by this government has actually gone over 5 billion in surplus. So there is money there in the system, but I mean, there's no point throwing money at it. At the end of the day, what you need to do is identify the issues of concern.
Yeah,
identify where the
You have to manage things properly. And one listener gets in touch, outlining the situation where things aren't being managed properly. I was speaking to a home help lady, calls to my dad. She told me from the time she was told she had a job as a home help, it took from January to September of last year for her to be rostered, a starting date. No wonder the home help situation is so messed up, says Trulie listener. 9 months of a delay, and actually you have the job and, oh, by the way, here's your start date. That's a very management problem, isn't it?
That is a management problem, and that's a very, very true fact that is happening. We've a number of people, I don't know the official figures at this point in time, but I know there's quite a substantial amount of people waiting to avail of the home health service. And the HCSAs who have applied for these jobs, and there's been about 120, I think, about 50 or 60, I believe, on a panel between Kerry and Cork at the moment. And it has taken exorbitant amount of time for them to be hired, and 6 or 7 or 8 months waiting. Crazy stuff. I mean, that should all be fast-tracked in order to alleviate the problems that are currently there.
Yeah, because, look, I understand what you're saying about money going into the right areas. You want more investment in funding, but $23.4 billion, the highest funding to the health service in the history of the state for budget 2023. But there are problems in how we're managing all of that to make use of the money.
There is, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I represent healthcare workers, and at the end of the day, what they're saying to me is quite clearly is that the overcrowding in the hospitals and the shortages of staff and the burnout of staff across all grades, whether it is nursing, healthcare assistants, portering, catering, housekeeping, ambulance personnel, it's been the burnout that's there currently and the workload that's currently in health. And the general public knows this, because if they have to admit themselves to A&E, and like your caller said, they're waiting 8 and 9 hours in A&E before they're seen. Yeah. And there's tragic situations out there. People have lost their lives.
And there are people who will die and shouldn't have died because of these sort of delays. I finally said, I saw one report over the Christmas period, I think it was in Sussex in the United Kingdom, half of one county's entire ambulance crews were queued up outside a hospital. I think it was Stoke-on-Trent, actually. Waiting to discharge patients. So other countries, including the UK, having similar problems.
That is quite true. And it's not only in the UK, it's worldwide. It's worldwide in the health services. And I think the biggest issue, and you've actually covered it there earlier on, is that we have an ageing population. We have an increase in the population. We have people presenting themselves trying to get access to their local GPs is becoming an issue now. So the health services, there has to be a big rethink in relation to how health is delivered in this country. The rollout of Sláinte Care has been delayed. Everyone thought that was going to be to an end.
Yeah.
Yes, a silver bullet, right? And the National Ambulance Service, and said to you, we have, I mean, part of the Sláinte Care and the whole issue of making the National Ambulance Service a world-class service for the communities that they serve is all contained in the Roles and Responsibilities Agreement, a proposal as it is now. And for the government to allow that, and the HSC and the Department of Health, to allow that to sit idly by for a period of 12 months. I mean, all membership have decided that they want to do a ballot for industrial action in relation to it, and that has been sanctioned by our union. But we haven't actually instigated that ballot as of yet because of the upsurges there at the present. And we don't want to be put pressure on the public, people that need the ambulance service, and to have them worry in relation to a national dispute at this stage with the current upsurge. But the upsurge won't be there forever. We've asked the Minister, we've asked the Department of Health to implement the roles and responsibilities, put the funding in place to increase the staffing, increase the amount of ambulances on the road, and we are urging the Minister to do that. And if not, then it's going to be inevitable. There will be a ballot for industrial action.
Yeah, certainly will. Okay, listen, Ted, we're going to leave it there. Look, it is, and on that, you're holding fire, shall we say. The INMO, the Irish Nurse and Midwives Organisation, is moving closer to strike action. Are they justified in that in a time of crisis?
Well, I think with the INMO, and it's a matter for the INMO to comment on their membership, but I mean, the last I said is that they're going to have a period of consultation over the next month with their membership in relation to a view of a ballot for industrial action. But the membership that we represent in the National Ambulance Service, they've already mandated SIPTI to have a ballot for industrial action, and that has been sanctioned. That ballot has been sanctioned by our National Executive Council to conduct that ballot. But at the moment, SIPTA is being a responsible union on the basis of the upsurge at the moment, and we're not going to do that ballot in the next couple of weeks. But in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I would no doubt, if it's not resolved and the Minister doesn't come out and make a statement about the funding for the National Ambulance Service going forward, then we'd be left with no other choice but to continue with that ballot.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Ted, listen, we'll leave it there. My thanks to you for talking to us in the programme this morning.